I spent the vast majority of my childhood at 4019 Betsy Lane. Betsy Lane was a somewhat idyllic one-block street right in the smack center of the city of Houston. It is a street not unlike the street where my kids have grown up here in Jackson, Moose Street. A place teeming with families, with children, a lot of action, a lot of collaboration, and a lot of friendships shared, not just on the street, but around the neighborhood. I grew up in a small, low-slung, ranch-style house with three bedrooms and two bathrooms on this street, and the house was right in the middle of the block. The block itself was mostly lined with oak trees, like you see in this particular part of Houston. However, in my front yard, there was a large and full magnolia tree. If you were to ask my mother, my Shreveport, Louisiana born and raised mother, she would tell you that she bought that house because of that magnolia tree. It sat in the center of our front yard, in the middle of this block, and the tree itself was the epicenter of my childhood, my brother's childhood, and all the kids along the block of Betsy Lane. It carried with it many rites of passage. The most significant one was being tall enough to finally grasp the low, fat limb that grew toward our house and to sling one's leg up and over the limb and to begin to climb the tree. Of course, getting to the top of the tree was the most important rite of passage, and sitting in the top of the tree where there was this kind of wonderful saddle where through the magnolia leaves you could see the entire block and some of the rest of the neighborhood. It was a wonderful tree around which we all grew up. It was always home base for games of tag. It was the center, the very center of our childhood. On this block, across from the Bartz family, lived Norma and Norman, who had Carolyn, Jerry, and Amy. And next door to Norma and Norman lived Mary and Marion. They had Mac and Mark, Mark 12 days older than me, and my bestie growing up, and still a very dear friend of mine today. Down the street, Karen had Ellen and Lauren, and there were other kids scattered through the block throughout the course of my childhood, some staying the entirety of my childhood, others moving in and moving out. The block was very close. Every Halloween, we had a pumpkin carving contest, and the one that I remember the most was in maybe 1978 or 1979 when Star Wars came out. My mom decided to spray paint our pumpkin silver and turn it into R2-D2. Of course, the Bartz family that year took home the plaque, which had behind a green velvet background, a simple carved pumpkin, and that sat on a shelf in our house for the year until it was awarded to another family the next year. The tree was at the center of everything that we did as a family and that we did as an extended family, the Betsy Lane family. The house is no longer there. The last time I drove down Betsy Lane, there was a new house, and the time before, I drove by, there was a green construction fence around it. The tree, though the tree is not flourishing like it did when I was a child, the tree is still there. It's probably going to go to tree heaven pretty soon. A lot has happened over the course of these 54 years and more. I mention this tree because it was not just at the center of my childhood and at the center of an awful lot of fun for the neighborhood and the community in which we live, but I mention it because at some point in time, I have this awareness that at some point in time, someone made a decision, and honestly, a somewhat divergent decision, seeing the trees that populated the block of Betsy Lane, to plant this magnolia tree. It was, for them, an act of improving their property, probably. Maybe it was nostalgic because they too grew up somewhere in the South where magnolia trees grow and bloom. I will say, honestly, like on a block with oak trees, by the time I was, you know, 10 or 11 or 12 years old enough to like take on the responsibilities of caring for the yard, I will be honest and say, like, oak trees that drop their leaves in the winter and a magnolia tree that drops its leaves in the summer felt somewhat unlucky. Nevertheless, the tree sat there because of the generosity and the forethought of someone that I don't know. I have no idea who put this tree, how long it's been there. And yet, it was at the very center of my childhood with so many fond memories, especially those of getting to the top of that tree, sitting in its uppermost saddle, and listening to the locusts or the cicadas make their beautiful, strange noise in the summertime. That is a sound that I miss, a rhythm to my childhood, and that place, a wonderful point of observance of life happening around us. None of you came to church this morning to hear about my childhood or what sat at the center of my childhood. I simply bring this up because over the course of the last several weeks, we as a church, we Episcopalians and those who ascribe themselves to the lectionary that we've heard, have been listening to these stories about bread from heaven, the idea that God rains down bread from heaven that nourishes us. These stories that we have from Jesus most certainly connect to the Hebrew Scriptures, where we have that one centerpiece story of Israel in the middle of the wilderness, lost, liberated, but in the moment, lost, experiencing manna fall from heaven. And then, of course, the quail that followed them later. But this idea that God provides for us out of the heavens is an important theme within the structure of our sacred story. This idea that things come to us that we don't necessarily deserve. Things come to us that we didn't position ourselves in or strategize for or sum up all of our courage and grit to make. That goodness surrounds us. And those of us who have the great privilege of living in a place like Jackson Hole, Wyoming, know that goodness surrounds us. The only way you escape that is to let go of all of your senses, right? Not just our sight, not just our smell, our ears, our touch, but to let go all of the senses because we are surrounded by goodness that none of us has had any input on whatsoever. There is, however, a portion of the bread from heaven with which, in which, we human beings are partakers in the work. Part of what comes to us has come to us not just from God, but from God in collaboration with, in partnership with humanity. Humanity coming together with God to make sure that those who come after them experience the joy and the beauty and the delight of creation all around us. Whoever planted that magnolia tree was one of God's assistant bakers, a sous chef in God's great heavenly kingdom kitchen in the sky. It is our deepest and truest and realest privilege as human beings to participate with and to collaborate with God come among us, raining bread from heaven. I'm going to pause for just a second, and I'm going to invite us on a little field trip here today. Not just a metaphorical one, a real one. I'm going to ask you to follow me out of the church right now. And to those of you who are listening on our live stream, I apologize for this stunt. We'll be right back after this message or the conclusion of this message. So will y'all follow me?